Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The president said the time for games is over. I agree with the president. He graciously accepted my apology, and the issue is over.
South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson hopes it's over regarding his "you lie" outburst, but it actually may be just getting started. Listen to former President Jimmy Carter on MSNBC yesterday saying out loud what a lot of people are thinking.
I think an overwhelming portion of the intensely demonstrated animosity toward President Barack Obama is based on the fact that he is a black man, that he's African American. I live in the South, and I've seen the South come a long way, and I've seen the rest of the country that shared the South's attitude toward minority groups at that time, particularly African Americans. That racism inclination still exists, and I think it's bubbled up to the surface because of a belief among many white people, not just in the South but around the country, that African Americans are not qualified to lead this great country. It's an abominable circumstance and grieves me and concerns me very deeply.
All right. So Jimmy Carter yesterday, also speaking out yesterday, was Democratic Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson. He didn't exactly say Wilson was being racist, but listen to how he says Wilson enabled racists in this one-minute clip.
He did not help the cause of diversity and tolerance with his remarks. If I were a betting man, I would say that it instigated more racist sentiment, feeling that it's okay. You don't have to bury it now. You can bring it out, talk about it fully. And so I guess we'll probably have folks putting on white hoods and white uniforms again and riding through the countryside, intimidating people. And, that's the logical conclusion if this kind of attitude is not rebuked. And that Congressman Wilson represents it. He's the face of it. And that's why I support the resolution.
So, Congressman Hank Johnson, Democrat from Georgia, does he speak for you? Our lines are full, surprise, surprise. But you can post on our webpage. Good conversation could definitely break out there on this simultaneously at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, a racial component to Joe Wilson's comment. You know, Maureen Dowd may have actually started all this. No African-American congressman that I know of was making these comments. Jimmy Carter wasn't making these comments until Maureen Dowd wrote her column that was published on Sunday that raised it, titled Boy, Oh Boy. And she wrote, "Fair or not, what I heard with you lie was an unspoken word in the air, you lie, boy." And then she says, "The congressman we learn belonged to the Sons of Confederate Veterans, led a 2000 campaign to keep the Confederate flag waving above South Carolina State Capitol, and denounced as a smear the true claim of a black woman that she was the daughter of Strom Thurmond, the 1948 segregationist candidate for president." She says, "I've been loath to admit that the shrieking lunacy of the summer, the frantic efforts to paint our first black president as the other, a foreigner, socialist, fascist, Marxist, racist, commie, Nazi, a cad who would snuff old people, a snake who would indoctrinate kids, had much to do with race." But she has come to that conclusion, writes Maureen Dowd. Then she followed up yesterday by pointing out the anti-Obama, anti-health reform rally in Washington over the weekend, at which Wilson was hailed as a hero and was signing autographs for people, had included signs, classy placards, she calls them, such as a picture of a lion with the caption, "The zoo has an African," and the White House has a lion African. Bury Obamacare with Kennedy. We came unarmed this time and cap Congress and trade Obama back to Kenya. Those signs at the rally on Sunday. But do we hold Joe Wilson responsible for that? 212-433-WNYC. Post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we have with us Congressman Donald Payne of Newark, former head of the Congressional Black Caucus. Congressman Payne, how are you? Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks. And how about yourself?
Fine, thank you. Did you think racism when Congressman Wilson first shouted, "You lie"? You were there.
No question about it.
Really?
No doubt in my mind that had that not been a black man standing up there, that a member of Congress at a joint session would never do that.
Did you say so publicly at the time, or did you wait for Jimmy Carter or Maureen Dowd to say so first?
It's been discussed since it happened. I mentioned it at a rally of Democrats on Saturday in West Orange. I said it again on Sunday.
Okay.
At a church.
So it's an accusation of lying. Why isn't it a leap? Well, wait a minute. I'll tell you what. I'll take a caller for you on this. Bob in Forest Hills. You're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi there, and I have great respect for Congressman Payne. I think he's usually a reasonable voice. I don't agree with him on this one, unless we think George Bush was black and maybe Bill Clinton was also an African-American, first African-American president. The decorum in Congress has been going down. Bush has been shouted down in Congress as well. You couldn't hear what the people were saying because there were so many congressmen shouting at him. Here you had one. If we can't criticize and harshly criticize and treat harshly a president who's African-American, then we're not ready for an African-American president. What did we do to Clinton? We impeached him. What did we do to Bush? We called him all kinds of names. The previous Bush got shouted out of office. And as far as health care, a very blonde white woman called Hillary Clinton was also castigated for health care. So I don't see this as a racial issue at all.
Bob, thank you. Congressman Payne, what about that? And what about the Bill Clinton parallels there? You know, in the Maureen Dowd column, saying the president is being portrayed as an other, a foreigner, a socialist, a fascist, a Marxist, the racist. You know Bill Clinton got called all those things.
Yeah, there's no question about it. However, no one, and let me correct this previous caller, no one ever called out a name that was clear to George Bush. People applauded, or they didn't applaud. They stood up, or they didn't stand up. We've had heads of state.
Hypothetical question. If during a Bush speech on Iraq, an upstart Democrat had shouted, "You lie," wouldn't you have celebrated that as an act of courage, maybe even patriotism?
Absolutely not. We all knew he lied. We knew that Osama bin Laden was in Afghanistan or near the border of Pakistan, that he had never really even met Saddam Hussein, had passed through Baghdad only once. And so all of us knew that the president was lying, was not telling the truth, but no one stood up. And I've heard seven or eight joint sessions at least where President Bush continually defended that. And I knew it was a lie, but it was inappropriate.
What if somebody did it during a speech before? What if Dennis Kucinich stood up and said, "You lied"? Would you have voted to censure him?
I sure would have. Absolutely, because it's the decorum of the House. That's the House of Representatives. That's something that, as a kid, I was never invited because in those days, you know, we didn't get invited to Washington. Now I encourage all kids from everywhere to come to see a place I wasn't invited. But that's a different place. This is a place that our whole nation was developed.
So it's your job, in a way, to stand by while the president is lying, stand by silently if he's doing it in your chamber?
I spoke to 3,500 people on Tuesday at a town hall meeting, phone town hall meeting. We had plenty of opportunities to get our point across. You don't stand up in the Florida House, do that, and then go out and sign autographs and raise money and have T-shirts and go out saying, "I'm the one that called this president a liar. I am a hero to all of you people who under your sublineal and even vocally wanted to say it, but I did it. The whole world heard me.
Jacob in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC with Congressman Donald Payne. Hello.
Yes, hello, Brian. Good morning. I have a few points, but I know I don't have enough time. But basically, it's a mistake to raise this issue, for politicians to raise this issue. This issue should sort of remain as a conversation piece for, because it basically, okay, the Republicans have made a decision that basically their way to the White House, to power again, is to sort of rouse anti-government and, yes, some racist elements of their constituents. So when you raise this issue of accusing them of racism every time they criticize the president, it's sort of besides the point if it's true or not. If politicians join in on that, then they say, ah, they're calling us racist, and then here we go back again into this, tug of war of this traditional rivalry of anti-government and sort of kind of a secession complex that Republicans seem to have.
Secession complex. And, Jacob, I have to leave it there for time, but thank you. Call us again. His political question, Congressman Payne, does this help or hurt the president if you racialize the political debate in Washington, if you elevate the fringe actors like Wilson or those sign carriers to the central concern of the Democratic Party? Who's going to win that strategy in this America?
Well, you have to. What will happen next time? Would a member go up and swing at the president? If you don't contain it now, all it's going to do is get worse. And to be silent means that you go along with it. They use Willie Horton. This is not the first time Republicans have done that against Dukakis. It was Willie Horton. I mean, there has been race used by the Republican Party. And if you take Charleston, South Carolina, it was the richest city in the United States at the beginning because of the slave trade. That is traditional there. So you have to know where these folks come from and their heritage and tradition. It doesn't just happen to be a mistake that Joe Wilson is from South Carolina.
We're talking about race and Joe Wilson's You Lie with Donald Payne, congressman from New Jersey, former head of the Congressional Black Caucus. Also with us briefly now, Melissa Harris Lacewell, associate professor of politics and African American studies at Princeton. She's already written about this. Professor Harris Lacewell, welcome back to WNYC.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
What are you thinking?
Well, it's quite an interesting time in America to be, as I am, a professor of race and politics. I can barely breathe, and there's a news story on it every day. You know, I have to say that I do believe President Obama is being both attacked, maligned. You know, the opposition is because he instituted or is attempting to institute health care reform. I mean, it really is based in a substantive disagreement with the president. Now, I happen to disagree with those who disagree with the president, but it is reasonable, it's appropriate, it's democratically, with a little d, responsible to critique and criticize in a vocal way one's president when you disagree with the policies that president is implementing. I think there's absolutely no problem with that, and Republicans have both a right and a responsibility to do so. On the other hand, we are on completely new terrain with having an African-American man representing the state, representing government, representing the head of public policymaking in the United States. And what that means is when we are framing our criticisms to the president, we have to be aware that race and the entire history of American racism comes along in those critiques. So I think it's incumbent upon those who care about the future of the country to both criticize the president, but to also be careful about how we frame it.
Are you saying it may have been somewhat subconscious, the racial overtone in Wilson's outburst?
Well, I'm less concerned with Wilson's outburst, which is to say, you know, I know that Democrats were really excited this summer when Congressman Frank called a woman at the healthcare rallies a dining room table. You know, that's not a very nice thing to say to one's constituent or to anybody's constituent. I know that many people would have been thrilled, even had it been censured, many Democrats would have been thrilled if someone had mentioned before we went to war in Iraq that it was based on a lie. And in fact, the representation that it's somehow decorum and appropriate and good for democracy not to call a lie when you see one, I think is very troubling. So it's not so much that Wilson does that as you know, sort of profoundly troubling as it was when it happened. It's that he then stands and signs autographs when people are holding racist signs and doesn't censor the people holding signs at that moment.
And I wonder if anybody's asked him that question yet.
Right. So in other words, you can say, look, I think he's a liar. I think health care reform is terrible. I think all these things, but you will not come in here and support me while holding a sign that says our president is a lying African. Like, that's not acceptable.
Rufus in Manhattan. You're on WNYC with Melissa Harris-Lacewell and Congressman Donald Payne. Hello.
Yes, hi. Professor Harris sort of made my point, but I just think that it's unnecessarily polarizing to read anything necessarily racial into this. I wouldn't deny that it could be racial.
I'm not sure that's the point that she was making, but go ahead.
Well, I think it's a mistake to do that. In any case, I think it's unnecessarily polarizing, and I think it plays into the hands of those who oppose the president, because this gives ammunition to those who say that we're becoming overly sensitive to these issues when they don't exist. I wouldn't deny that there's a racial component to the teabag protests, and I find that unsettling myself. But the two-word statement "UI," inappropriate as it may have been, and probably stupid as it may have been, doesn't seem to merit any of this. And
Congressman Payne, you wanted to react. We're going to run out of time.
I was going to say that if you continue to let things escalate, then the next time that people would say, maybe you lied so-and-so, or use a derogatory term, or stand up and approach the president. We've got
if
people
you let that, it go unanswered.
Absolutely. And it has to. It has never happened before. When it happened before, it was an apology. And this is absolutely wrong. As President Carter said, he called it right. He's a white Southern former president who called it like it was. Now, people can't believe him. Who will they believe?
Well, I want to add one other element to this in just our last minute here, because my first reactions to Wilson's outburst were not so much that it was anti-black racism, which I started thinking about later when people raised it, but it was anti-Hispanic racism and anti-immigrant xenophobia. Of all the things that could have made him lose it during the president's health care address,
right,
rationing by government, the threat of cutbacks on Medicare for seniors, new taxes on his constituents.
It was immigration.
It was immigration and a thing that wasn't actually even in the bill. That was the most emotionally accessible point for him, the one that he couldn't help himself but to shout out in response to. So that's where I personally enter the race in Joe Wilson discussion, Professor Harris-Lacewell. We have 30 seconds.
And I will say, I do absolutely agree with the congressman that what Jimmy Carter did by stating in such clear, plain, and important language the ways that racism has infected much of the opposition to the president was an act of service to his country. As President Carter has often done in his years since being president. We do need to talk about this. I don't think that it's unnecessarily polarizing. I think it's at the very core of what we are going to have to work through as a nation. And President Obama's presidency gives us an opportunity to do that.
And guess what? We're not going to resolve that here this morning. I'm sure that is a shock to you. Melissa Harris-Lacewell, Associate Professor of Politics and African American Studies at Princeton. New Jersey Congressman Donald Payne. Thank you both so much.
My pleasure.